Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers who work in many fields and teach us the art of living, how to work in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace, and use the technological advances available to us. Approximately every 2,500 years, a new teacher brings a body of teaching to humanity that is suited to our needs at that particular time. Usually this takes place at the end of an age. Right now, as the age of Pisces declines and our solar system aligns with the constellation Aquarius, new energies are beginning to make themselves felt. As these Aquarian energies of sharing and justice stream into our planet, the need for change can be seen more clearly. A period of chaos ensues as the old order lessens its grip on humanity, and the impulse of sharing, justice and peace inspires us to move forward in evolution as a united group.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for listening. Last week, we began a series of articles written by four co-workers examining the nature of the requirements for working in esoteric groups. These are taken from a section in Share International magazine titled Groups, the Aquarian Way Forward. So this article will be titled Non-Sentimental Group Relations in Esoteric Groups, and it begins... Benjamin Krem and his master dedicated more than 40 years in explanatory work about the masters involved in taking up their places in the everyday world. Since that process of externalization is well underway, we are revisiting and re-examining the requirements for the correct functioning of groups that are intended to reflect in the outer world their inner correspondence, the masters' ashrams on the inner planes.
Examining non-sentimental group relations in esoteric groups, and this is a piece written by Phyllis Power. In the last six decades or so, groups have been a topic of interest in many fields. For example, I worked in education for many years, and group learning was an important part of our training and practice. Many studies were carried out on children talking and working in groups. The basic premise being that group work can enhance children's learning intellectually, socially, and emotionally. There has been a similar focus in therapy and personal development and in organizations. It was seen that better, more developed ideas or constructs could often emerge from group thinking and cooperation than from any one individual, and these were owned by the whole group rather than by any individual in that group. The whole was more than the sum of its parts. Such group work could lead to a sense of greater democracy and well-being in all the members of that group, as the threads of energy and ideas are woven between its members, creating a greater cohesion and unity among them.
From an esoteric perspective, this focus on groups is the result of one of the seven rays that influence life on Earth, and these... preeminent quality of the seventh ray is that of synthesis. This ray will govern the new age of Aquarius, gradually replacing the sixth ray, which was the major influence in the outgoing age of Pisces. It started to make its influence way back in the 17th century and has been gaining in strength since then as the effects of the sixth ray has been waning. This focus on groups means that many now working for the emergence of Maitreya bring with them experience of group work in the rest of their lives, of leaders, organization, different roles, interpersonal relations. These previous experiences may or may not be relevant to the new esoteric group, where it is important to understand that the group task and the group as a unit are the most important focus rather than the interpersonal relationships.
The esoteric group will face the same difficulties inherent in any group, mainly brought about by personality and emotional differences. However, the group which was started by Benjamin Krem in 1974 is absolutely distinctive. It has brought together disciples or aspirants across the world working under a master of wisdom through Benjamin Krem as a senior disciple. This worldwide group now exists as many groups in many countries, working together on the physical plane in different ways but to the same end. A group had similarly been formed under the Master DK through Alice A. Bailey in the early 20th century. Such groups are being trained to reflect on our physical plane, the Master's ashram, to which they belong.
Both of the previous mentioned esoteric groups relied on a senior disciple who was in touch with a master for teaching about their progress. Within Alice A. Bailey's group, the master's teaching was given by correspondence, both to the whole group and to individuals. You can find out more in the book Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 1 by A.A. Bailey, who did not meet face-to-face. Individuals in Benjamin Krem's group were not given their own individual teaching, except on occasion when Mr. Krem spoke to them privately. Rather, they relied for guidance on his generous presence as he travelled lecturing, and on his books, and on Share International magazine.
What has upheld this group and sustained the stimulus to continue to work steadfastly for 40 years is that their task encompasses both inner, esoteric, and outer, exoteric work. The practice of transmission meditation introduced by Benjamin Krem in 1974 is both a service and a means of individual development. The outer exoteric work includes preparing the public about the emergence of Maitreya and the Masters of Wisdom. This, as Benjamin Krem puts it, gives a powerful controlling theme which can hold together a group of disparate individuals scattered around the world. The teaching work of the emergent groups is, of course, huge. Information about Maitreya and the Masters of Wisdom involves a whole new way of seeing and understanding our world, a new paradigm. The task is momentous, and one might hope that focusing on it would help to bypass the sort of individual differences that so often lead to the eventual downfall of many groups, their likings and dislikes, envies and jealousies, disagreements about how the work should be carried out.
Mr. Krem looks at aspects relating to group fusion in this following passage, where he shows that the externalization of the spiritual hierarchy, group fusion, and group initiation are closely related. Many people have a rather vague idea of the externalization of the hierarchy. Most people, I think, see it as a time when the masters take up their positions again in the world. And this, in fact, is true. This is happening now. But the externalization of the hierarchy is infinitely more complex than that. What it really entails is the externalization onto the outer plane in working relationship of the ashrams of the masters. The groups of disciples will be working in a unified way on the outer plane and, at the same time, fused at one with the inner ashram of which they are a part, at the center of which is a master. These ashrams, as you know, exist on the inner planes, on the soul plane, but the aim ultimately is to reproduce them on the outer physical plane.
On the relationships governing any group that might be part of a master's ashram, DK says the following, that's the Master DK. One of the problems confronting the hierarchy in this connection is the elimination of sentiment, that curious emotional reaction and relationship which links all the members of a group together in the bonds of liking or disliking. Where there is liking, then too strong a personality relation is established as far as the good of the group is concerned. The group equilibrium is disturbed. Where there is disliking, the inner faculty of rebuff works constantly, and cleavages then occur. Is it not true, my brothers, that your relation to each other is frequently subjected to the impact of approval or of disapproval? When that attitude exists, the first steps towards group fusion are absent. This is what we mean by sentiment, and this emotional reaction must disappear as a preliminary stage.
It is noteworthy that liking, as well as disliking, is presented as an undesirable sentiment for a working group, as too strong a personality relation for group cohesion. If there is liking among some, others are excluded. Emotions can run high, and emotions such as envy can arise. Personal preferences among different group members, therefore, should not be brought into a group that is trying to work on a soul level. As a soul attribute, dispassionate love must be the underlying driver of the work of these groups. But since the individuals in the groups are all too human, they are prone to the kinds of liking and disliking that the Master DK talks of. Rebuff is the most telling word in this passage, which gives few concrete examples of what to avoid in group relations. The Master DK uses the word again in the book The Reappearance of the Christ about people's fear of speaking about the Christ's return. He says, they are afraid of being rebuffed, or of being thought peculiar, or of intruding. In the above passage, he refers to the consequences of disapproval, which lies behind a rebuff in group work. Some dictionary definitions of rebuff that suggest its power are to refuse to accept a helpful suggestion or offer from someone, to reject, spurn, dismiss, ignore.
To counter unhelpful sentiments, each individual in the group needs to try to be aware of how they behave at every moment and of its effects on others. So in rebuffing, to be aware of feeling disapproval mingled with a sense of superiority and separatism. Being rebuffed may in turn evoke a sense of inferiority, of being excluded or rejected, leading to chagrin or anger or feeling not good enough. A rebuff, of course, signifies the opposite of acceptance and respect. And this raises the question, is it possible to disagree with an idea while still accepting its validity and still accepting the autonomy and value of the person who presents the idea? Is it possible for ideas to be considered in a dispassionate, non-judgmental way?
The Master DK's statement on non-sentimental group relationships ends with a call to clarity and with an inspiring idea of group work based on real, soul-derived, deep, persistent, unchanging love, with a concomitant divine indifference, a detachment from the fog of personality reactions. And he says in the book The Rays and the Initiations, it will not be possible for you to comprehend the significance of this role unless there is a measure of clarity in your minds anent true group relationships. Such relationships are not based upon personality or impersonality, or upon liking or disliking, or on criticism or non-criticism, but upon a real comprehension of divine indifference, spiritual detachment, and deep, persistent, unchanging love. To many earnest aspirants, the juxtaposition of these phrases will seem paradoxical, but an understanding of the occult paradoxes tends to liberation. In the comprehension of these basic attitudes lies the first lesson of the aspirant to participation in group initiation.
This is something we may long for and strive after in the midst of difficulty and in our efforts to develop right group relations. On a soul level, we are both detached and loving. The aim is to try to make this a part of everyday life and group interaction. And we'll have more about the different aspects of Aquarian age groups as it comes to hand.
This next piece is from Share International magazine, from a section titled The Voice of the People. And the article itself is titled Palestinians Protest Gaza Blockade and Assert Right of Return. A fence that divides Israel and Gaza has become the latest flashpoint in the decades-old conflict, with Israeli soldiers unleashing lethal force against mostly unarmed Arab protesters who have been demonstrating every Friday for the past few weeks. So begins a New York Times article on 13th of April 2018 describing protests that have resulted in the deaths of dozens of Palestinians and the wounding of thousands more.
The demonstrations, which began on 30th of March 2018 and are scheduled to be held every Friday until the 15th of May, are part of a campaign against Israel's and Egypt's 11-year-old blockade of Gaza. The protesters also seek to assert the right of Palestinian refugees and their ascendants to return to the lands that they were displaced from in 1948. The initial idea for a peaceful resistance campaign in Gaza has been attributed to a Facebook post by Gaza activist and journalist Ahmad Abu Atema. Atema wondered what would happen if thousands of Gazans, the vast majority of whom are refugees and their descendants, attempted to peacefully cross the frontier to reach their ancestral homes. And that was written by The Guardian. To avoid danger at the border, organizers of the campaign agreed instead they would pitch tents and have meals, traditional dabki, which is folk dancing, football games and even weddings, hundreds of meters from the perimeter. And that also from The Guardian, of course. And Artemis says he rejects armed resistance in part because he believes that strategy has failed. It is not necessary to resist the occupation with bullets. You can resist the occupation with dabki, folk dancing, or by just sitting there.
Palestinian political parties, including Hamas, support the movement. I'm not a spokesman for Hamas, Artema said. It's positive that those people started to believe in a peaceful struggle. Israel wanted to drag it to violence. They don't want to confront people. They want to be confronted by a rocket or a missile. The fact that a small number of people threw stones did not justify live fire, he said. Israel's violent response to the protests has been widely criticised. The UN and EU have called for independent investigations. Omar Hadmada, an unemployed construction worker, says, "We want to live like everyone else in the world." He's one of the protesters, and he also said, "We came here so the world can see us and know that life here is miserable and that there should be a solution." So that article was taken from TheGuardian.com, NYTimes.com, and the Associated Press.
That's all we have time for today, and thank you for listening to our wonderful information. And if you'd like further information, you can visit the website share-international.org or email us at sharenz@yahoo.com. Love and best wishes to you all, and many blessings.